Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday. It's April 27th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we are be reading on page 77. We'll be reading the second paragraph, which is the last paragraph on that page, beginning with, under no condition do we criticize, ending with, we will be gratified with the result. And we'll be reading that one paragraph only, just studying that one. So today's readers are Lori G. and 12 Traditions. It's possibly going to be Sherry Z. The readers of the text are Jody E. and Robin P. The share ID for Wednesday, April 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,199. That's 20199. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, April 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,202. That's 20202. Oh, that's interesting. Newcomer greeter is Lois P., and the announcements person is Shelley E. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Lori G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Mo. I'm hoping you can hear me.
I can, very clearly.
Awesome. Lori G. in Colorado, thank you for letting me do service. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everyone else.
Yeah, thank you. So I will, and so now I'm going to ask Sherry Z to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Sherry.
Melanie just told me she's ready to read them.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't read that text correctly. Melanie C., will you read the 12 traditions for us? Thank you for stepping in there.
Oh, it is me. She is. I didn't read it.
It is you.
You read it correctly. I didn't. Okay.
Okay, we'll get it.
Let's get it. We're Sherry recovered in Los Angeles. These are the 12 traditions of AA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity, AA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is... Oh, use OA?
Yeah. Yes,
sorry,
please
about
that. Do.
I will get it. It's very human today.
That's okay. That's very good.
Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as God may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive overeating. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an OA group, I'm having a hard time, forgive me. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities, and I pass and thank you for allowing me to be human today.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry, for stepping in there. You did a great job. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, so please check that on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 77, and it starts with, it's the second paragraph down at the bottom there, under no condition do we criticize such a person, and it ends with, we will be gratified with the result. And I will now ask Jody E. to get us started. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. So we're talking about a person that we dislike or an enemy, particularly here. But this is true for really anyone. We do not discuss their faults. That is very important. This is about taking our own inventory, never their inventory. As soon as we start to take someone else's inventory, they become defensive and we are not accomplishing our purpose. So we never tell them anything that's wrong with them or bad about them or what they should do or shouldn't do. Their faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. How have I been selfish, self-seeking, self-centered, dishonest, afraid? And if we can do that, just say what we mean what we say, and just don't get into their part at all, we will be gratified. Unless they kick us out of their office, which they might do, and not let us say a word. That has happened to me more than once. But when I have been allowed to speak my truth, I think people kick us away or don't want to hear it because they're afraid. They're afraid of what we might say, of how we might take their inventory. Or they're just done with us. Whatever the case may be, we can't force ourselves upon them. But when they will hear us out, we must not take their inventory. It's just about us. And if we can do that, we can fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E., for getting us started. And I'll just remind everybody where we are. We're on page 77, the bottom of the page. Under no condition do we criticize such a person. And it ends on the top of page 78. We will be gratified with the results. So I'll now open the line for you. Press star one. Oh, let me say this too. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday, we'd ask you to skip and go till tomorrow. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Press star one to unmute your phone.
Donna B.
Roz G.
Barbara A.
So I have Donna B., Roz G., and Barbara A.
Victoria L.
Victoria L.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Did you get Victoria L?
I did. All right, we'll go with that lineup. Donna B., Roz G., Barbara A., Victoria L., and Deborah G. So if you're not Donna B., please mute your phone. And Donna, would you get us started?
Thanks, Bo. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. I'm really happy to be on the phone live with all of you this morning. When I think about myself on the receiving end of somebody's criticism, I know from my own experience that when I'm being criticized, I shut down. I kind of hear what they're saying, but I don't totally hear what they're saying. I don't know if they're a safe person or not. I'm trying to discern what may be true or not. I'm very much in myself trying to navigate how I'm going to survive the experience of being criticized. So I think that these instructions, which tell me when I'm the one approaching someone who I want to be receptive and open to my message, that I need to tread carefully And I need to take responsibility for creating a safe space, an environment for an open, loving exchange to happen. So this suggestion, when I think about being on the receiving end of criticism, it just makes so much sense, right? If I want someone to hear my sincere attempts to amend the relationship or to amend my poor treatment in the past, it would be helpful for the environment to feel safe and conducive to change and openness. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Up next is Roz G, followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much. My name is Roz G. I'm recovered compulsive overeater. I'm Palmdale, California, in Los Angeles County. This morning I was working with the sponsee, and we just happened to have this very similar discussion. She's on her step four, but we were you know, just the discussion came up that we're looking at our side. Where was I selfish, inconsiderate, self-seeking, and frightened? And when I did the, you know, I've done these all kinds of amends, and I still do. But there was one in particular that I remember about an instructional aide of mine. And she was controlling and wanted to direct me and tell me what to do. And I had way too much of an ego to allow someone to do that. And so I told her how I felt about her. And the truth was, I was rather new to the school, and it would have been better for me to just keep my mouth shut, observe, and then, you know, lovingly tell her or lovingly create a boundary, which would have been the right thing for me to do. But I didn't. I told her off. And so when it was time for me to make my amends, I did. And I did what the big book said. I didn't tell her anything about what she did. I said, I'm very sorry for the way I treated you. And she was so receptive and so grateful. And today we have a great relationship. We don't work in the same classroom anymore. And she's never apologized to me. Ha ha, funny. But you know, it doesn't matter, because I stuck to my own. And today I still do that. For the most part, I stick to my own. I keep the focus on me when I need to make amends. And it says there, we will never get over our drinking or our eating if we don't do this. And yesterday I spent the day at a very popular amusement park in the Anaheim area, which I love to nurture my inner child and do that. And I didn't want to eat popcorn. I didn't want to eat cake. I didn't want to eat ice cream. And I don't want to eat crap. So the result of making amends, sticking to my side, keeping my side of the street clean, doing those 10 steps, recognizing when I'm in error, and practicing step 12 keeps me out of that. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. Barbara A. up next, followed by Victoria L. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. So grateful to be living in California. Abstinent for today. Grateful. When I read of this morning, I just think about my 40-plus year relationship with my husband and how many times I have criticized what he has done any time we've had any kind of discussion, or any time I've tried in the past to go forward and make amends. And the minute he said anything, my mind would go right to what he did, and I would bring it up. And he's even said to me, you always turn it back on me. We're talking years in this program, years in this relationship. And with working the 12 steps, and believe me, amends is not easy. And the more I do it, the easier it becomes. That's the gift. And then I don't, by keeping my side of the street clean, I don't find that I have the really deep cutting, cruel things that I've done. I clean things up right away. Like someone compared it once to weeding a garden. You get those little weeds out right away and then they don't get big and take root. I'm just grateful today to be able to have a conversation with my husband and not blame him. And believe me, it's a process. It's, you know, 40 years of doing something one way and then trying very hard to just be calm, be loving, be kind. Question, where was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid? So grateful today to have these tools to work this program. His faults are never discussed. We stick to our own. Believe me, it's not easy, and it is so worth it to just practice making amends, being loving, kind, and generous to all. And I pass. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Barbara A. Up next is Victoria L., followed by Deborah G., and then I'll take a list of more names. Good morning, Victoria.
Hi, good morning. This is Victoria L., and I'm from Muncie, Indiana, and happy to be on the phone this morning. I'm in California today, so I'm usually on the 7 a.m. Eastern time call, or maybe this is the 7 a.m. I don't know. I'm confused at the time zone. But anyway, ninth step amends. You know, what I found, I'm the only one in my family in recovery, and I'm in multiple recovery programs, and I've had to make so many ninth step amends. And, you know, truth be told, my pride and ego would like someone to make amends to me for once, and that's not going to happen. So I am on my way today, leaving a conference to go visit my brother, and he did something to me 2.5 years ago that I've already made a resentment for. I mean, that I've already made a amends for, but I still have a resentment about it. So today my amends is all about a living amends and going to him with a positive attitude and an open heart. And, you know, what I've found in making amends to people is that it's best if we make I statements rather than you or we statements. And I can be pretty safe in making an amends if I know I'm speaking in I language for the harm that I did related to me. Today isn't about saying I'm sorry. My brother doesn't want to hear I'm sorry, you know? And I have to be honest, I'm a little bit afraid of going and just being present because I don't want to be hurt. And it's hard to go to someone with an open heart. It puts you in a position of being vulnerable. And I want to be safe and protected and be the one in control and in charge. I don't want to be in a place of being vulnerable. But I'm excited to go, and I have just this amazing opportunity to be private with him and make this living amends. And I'm sharing it all with you on the phone today to take away that fear a little bit and know that I'm doing the right thing and that it's for the benefit of everybody who's involved. And this program is a life-changing and life-healing process. I've struggled with the food for 11 years. I still struggle with the food. But I'm doing the steps, and I know that at the point I finally have a spiritual awakening, that hopefully the compulsion to eat will be completely removed from me. And in the meantime, I'm just willing to continue to do and follow the direction that my sponsor provides. And, you know, ultimately, I have to remind myself that the purpose of this program isn't abstinence. The purpose of this program is to remove the blocks to me from my Creator and to develop a greater relationship with God and the people around me. And the result and the benefit of that is abstinence. And so I'm just super grateful to have the opportunity to be on the line this morning and to just keep showing up and doing the next right indicated action. And lastly, the book says faith without works is dead. And so when I lose my faith in the process and in whether or not I'll ever achieve permanent abstinence, I can just keep taking the action. Thank you. Appreciate your time and your service this morning. Have a blessed day.
Yeah, thank you, Victoria L. And before I take Deborah G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 77 at the bottom of the page, second paragraph. Under no condition do we criticize such a person. And it ends on the top of page 78 with, we will be gratified with the results. And after Deborah G, I'll take a list of more names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mel. Thank you for your service today and everyone's service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. I'm Deborah G from Arizona, a compulsive overeater. And I can remember going through the steps with my sponsor and with a workshop that I went through. And with step 9, I found it really important and helpful that I did it with the sponsor and with the person that was doing the workshop, because I have this guilt trip thing. And, you know, a lot of times I think I owe an amends and I don't. And a lot of times I don't think I owe an amends because I have ego and I do. So it's really helpful to run it by someone that's taking me through the steps, and also the people and the situations. And she also helps me with, or he helps me with the wording of how to do the amends. You know, I found that was really helpful, you know, just about to go to them and what to say. And that's it. Don't go into anything else. And then I also learned about, you know, what a harm was, because I never realized, you know, the definition, and I was told, and I heard this many times, it's to cause physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual damage to people, where the result of instincts and collision, because that was so clear about, you know, what an amends really was. And so it was so good, and I had really good results when I did it that way. And then continuing on in my everyday living was looking at, you know, if I was wrong. And so that's what I need to also run by someone, if I was wrong or not. It's just an ongoing process. And also when I do that, I am supported by other people and I help them as they help me. And it's just a beautiful way to live. And thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah, for that share. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I would like to take a list of more names to those who would like to share on this paragraph.
Linda P.
I'm Fran R.
Okay, I got Linda P. Who was that after Linda P?
Fran R.
Fran. Okay, I got you, Fran.
Thank you.
Nicole C.
Nicole C.
Letty G.
Letty G. I might be able to take one more. All right. We'll go with that. I have Linda P., Fran R., Nicole C., and Letty G. And if we have more time, well, maybe we can fit a few more people in there. All right, everybody except Linda P., mute your phone. Good morning, Linda.
Hi there. Thank you. My name is Linda P., recovered compulsive overeater. Happy to be here as always. A few things came up when in reading this and listening to the beautiful shares. The first thing was... thinking about, not only do I not want to criticize a person, bring up their faults, but also, you know, to make excuses for behavior. I know in a lot of amends, the temptation was to make an excuse like, well, I was going through a very bad depression or whatever it is, you know, to try to excuse it. And it's so much cleaner for me to just say what I did, no excuses, and you know, not psychologize it or anything, just say it, you know, the very end, what does it say, to be frank, calm, frank, and open, you know, that just makes me think like, gosh, just say it, clearly with an example so they know what I'm talking about. And the other thing that came up is there was one woman on my list that I really did not want to make an amends. In my mind, she had made my life very, very difficult at work, and I had a very hard time getting through to her. And I was almost, you know, my sponsor said, look, you can let go of that one, write it out. And I made one more attempt, and thank God she answered the phone. And I didn't even know that I was calling the right number. And I made that amends to her and just said my part. I didn't say a word about hers. And at the end, she gracefully accepted it. I had never once had she been anything remotely kind, you know, not, she had never really been open or kind with me. And she was so open-hearted and graceful in her response back to me and said, you know, hey, you know, I've grown since then too. That's all she said. And it was very transforming for me, not just because she said that, but in doing the amends, my view of her completely changed. Like everything dropped. The bad feelings I had about her, it just dropped. And I think that's just a miracle of the amends. It's almost like maybe I felt like I wasn't exactly so forgiving when I was, you know, pre-amends, but after the amends, it's almost like going back to step eight, you know, I felt complete compassion, love, forgiveness. And it was just such a small, and it was a very, you know, short conversation. But I think that part where nothing can be, oh, okay, well, there we go. I pass with that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Linda P. Up next is Fran R., followed by Nicole C. Good morning, Fran.
I'm Fran, a compulsive overeater in California. And
good morning.
This is a very powerful step. I have not taken it yet. I'm new. I have 35 days of abstinence. I'm going in the direction of my sponsor, but it's been on my mind that the person that I want to make amends to first. She's a childhood friend. We have quite a history. My history with a lot of people in life is that I live in fear. I have a fight or flight reaction to controversy. So there have been times with her where my brain shuts down and I leave. I've left her home and just said, gotta leave. And she's made comments about what's wrong with you. So I do need to make amends. I used bad language the last time we were together as a reaction to one of her criticisms. And so I said something really horrible. And I'm sorry for that. And we've only texted and whatnot. And I am ready. I'll follow the direction of my sponsor, but I am still full of that fear. And I'm sure my sponsor will help me come up with just the right words. So thank you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Nicole C. And after Letty G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 77, the bottom of the page, second paragraph. Under no condition do we criticize such a person, and it ends on the top of page 78. We will be gratified with the result. And after Letty, we have time for maybe three or four more shares. Good morning, Letty.
Mo, actually, this is Nicole.
Hey, Mo,
C. I think
do
it's,
you hear
it's
me?
My turn.
Oh, Nicole. Oh, did I?
Oh, sorry.
Did I skip you, Nicole?
I
apologize. I did. Letty, can you hold off and we'll get Nicole first? I had my check mark in the wrong place. Okay. Nicole, why don't you go? Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks so much. This is Nicole C., grateful member of this program in Washington State. And, first of all, I just want to say how much I appreciate all the shares that I have heard so far. And this paragraph, I just want to share about what is one example of what's possible when following this direction. When I went to make an amends to a family member who had perpetrated painful harms against me, I had some hope in my heart that she would own her part. I did. I went in there with some hope. But instead, what she said to me after I made my amends was, she said, "I'm so glad I prayed for the willingness to forgive you before you came today." And when she said that, I felt my ire rise. I felt my desire to, you know, my self-righteousness rise. I wanted to take her inventory. I wanted to point out to her what she had done. But this loving voice, my higher power's voice inside my head, said, "That's not why you're here." And it was so loving. And I felt seen, and I felt held, and I felt heard. And I didn't need to take her inventory. That's not why I was there. And instead, I said to her, "I love you." And this was years ago. And over the years, our relationship has grown, and we've both continued to grow along spiritual lines. And a couple years back, she didn't, you know, come out and out and say it, but she acknowledged in a really simple way that she had harmed me. And it was small and it was simple and it just sort of breezed through. She wasn't asking for forgiveness. It wasn't an actual amends, but it was just amazing, you know. And I go into all of my amends recognizing that the other person is a fellow sufferer. And that's where that loving voice from my higher power comes in. And I can feel held, and I can feel okay and safe to stay on my side of the street. I think that's all I have to share. So thank you so much for listening. Thanks for the opportunity.
And thank you, Nicole, for everyone doing service. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you for reminding me that I skipped you. And after Letty, we'll take another list of names. Letty, you're now up. Good morning.
Hi, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you to all the pearls of wisdom that I'm receiving from this program. I might get a little choked up. I'm relatively new. And I feel so blessed because the people that have come before me have opened my eyes to the reality is that when we come to this step, I thought, oh, no, I've been such a nice person. I've never hurt anybody. Who could I write on this list? Well, during the course of the study, God has opened my eyes to what I did. I might have done it in a loving way, but it was still not right to do what I did. And I look forward to learning more about this program and growing. And I'm so grateful. That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Letty G. Yeah. Thank you very much for your share, your honesty. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And reminding everybody, we're on the bottom of page 77. Last paragraph, under no condition do we criticize, and it ends on the top of page 78, we will be gratified with the result. So I can take three names or so who would like to share on this paragraph.
Debbie P.
Billy.
I could hardly hear you.
Billy F.
Billy S., you're going to have to do something to make that your sound louder, okay?
And B.
And B. All right, let's take those three. Who was that last one? Joanne P.?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take you. I don't know if I can get you in, but we'll try. Okay.
Thank you.
Debbie P., Billy S., Anne, I didn't get your last initial, and Joanne P. Debbie P., you're up first. Everybody else, please mute your phone.
Good morning, Mo, and all my fellows out there. My name is Debbie P. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. I just felt like I needed to share this. This step is really, it is powerful, as I've heard many people share today. And one amends that I made, they actually had a situation that I didn't remember that they really wanted me to understand and acknowledge and apologize for. And so I had to process that. I guess why I feel like I needed to share that is sometimes we get surprised with all the good, you know, I forgive you and you know, it's okay. And, you know, let's move on. But this one kind of set me back a little bit. I had to go back and do a fourth step on this amend or this, what do I want to say? Suggestion. I'll say it that way. To see if I owed another amend to this person. And, you know, fortunately over time I did not. I'm grateful that I had the experience and I'm grateful that we had the discussion. And then I can move on. And I can believe that my higher power has me see what I need to see when I need to see it. Regardless of what other humans might have to say, because I tend to listen to humans before I listen to my higher power. So I do feel a lot, what do I want to say? I usually feel calm, frank, open, and gratified when I listen to my higher power, when I'm having any kind of a discussion that's uncomfortable for me. If I'm relying on my higher power. If I'm relying on my will, then my body is tense and my shoulders are up at my ears and my hands are clenched. My gut is not aligned with my heart. And I can just feel the difference between my higher power's will and mine if I look at it from that standpoint, if I'm open and if I can get through this compulsion to have to do my to control what the outcome is. So anyway, I will pass with that, and thank you for letting me be of service.
And thank you, Debbie P. Up next is Billy S., followed by Ann. Get your last initial. Good morning, Billy. Press star one to unmute.
All right, this is Billy in Arizona. I really wanted just to claim my seat and emphasize this for myself, as well as giving experience strength and hope that what this speaks to me from experience is that it's true to the utmost is that it's under no condition do we criticize the other or argue for my ninth step. But I willingly say I was wrong and kind of highlight what it was that I had done without going into depth to cause more harm or, you know, debate it again. And then it's the emphasis of until I've done my utmost to straighten out the past, it won't be received. I mean, words is just that. It's just the words. It's the actions that's meant to make that amends. And then it's meant for me to work on sweeping up my side of the street is to get rid of my guilt and sometimes the shame of like I've, you know, done that again in causing harm. It's usually emotional harm. And then the ending of that paragraph is it's never try to tell them what they should do and that his or her faults are not discussed. I just stick to my own. And with that, no matter how it's received, I can continue my loving, being humble, being right-sized, and feeling good about I'm being who God would want me to be, and that's the best I can do. And all of this is in God's power. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Billy S. And next we have Ann. Give me your last initial, and if we have time, we'll take Joanne P. Good morning, Ann.
Hi, this is Ann B., a compulsive overeater from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. And I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 18 years. You know, my first year and a half, maybe, someone's got background noise, in program, I was really preoccupied with the idea of how I was going to make amends to my ex. Maybe it was like two, three years. I don't know. But anyway, I joined this program shortly after he moved out, and I didn't want him to move out, and I didn't want the marriage to end, and I was full of resentment. And I went through this whole rigmarole where I rewrote my fourth step with respect to him so that I would be ready to make amends. It was 15 pages, single-spaced, 8-point type, and 93 resentments with respect to him and his therapist, and so that I could be, you know, try to get rid of those. And, you know, I walked a labyrinth twice in the pouring rain. I went to a retreat center for my religious group, and still hearing background noise. And it was a 3-day silent retreat, and I journaled 35 pages. And then I was finally ready to make amends, and I called him up and said, you know, in a way, we're supposed to make amends, and I'd like to make amends to you. And he said, I don't want to hear it. And so, you know, you can't force a person to accept amends. So I couldn't make amends. And I wrote down what I was going to say on a business card because I had made it short. That's one of the things I had read in, I think, the OA 12 and 12 to make it short. And I kept the business card in my purse so that if anything would happen to me, it would be found and it could be given to him. But, you know, I still got this tremendous sense of relief because I was willing and ready to make the amend. And I still got that sense of freedom from it because I was right there. I was ready to do it. And so it was quite remarkable to me. And then I did another steps in another 12-step fellowship, and I again tried to offer to make amends. And again, at that time, he didn't even respond, or he's now a she. But, you know, interestingly, over the years, and now we were formally divorced in 2005, we've gradually become friends again. And even though I didn't actually say anything, I feel that the resentments have been lifted. And I can understand a lot better why he wanted a divorce, and because now he's a she. Anyway, so I will pass.
And thank you, Ann B. Sorry, Joanne, we don't have time today. Please come back tomorrow. And thank you all for your shares. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Robin P. to please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to
Thanks
be
so
suggested
much, Mo.
Only. You're welcome.
Thank you, Mo. Oh, my gosh. Thanks for a great meeting. I'm Robin P. I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See if your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then,